Hi, everyone. This is Kurt Bruner, your host, and thanks for listening to this special edition of the podcast where we're going to talk about faith-filled holidays. Now, I'm recording this in October because, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's are just around the corner. And every year, as those days approach, we get really, really busy. But we often forget to spend a little bit of time thinking about how we're going to incorporate faith at home in the context of the holidays. So I thought it'd be good to spend just a few minutes sharing a couple of ideas of things you can do to be intentional about faith at home, as well as recommend some resources, some tools that'll help you be more intentional and have some fun along the way. So here we go.
One of our Thanksgiving traditions is to put a jar or a box out in our kitchen, and then as we think about things we're thankful for, we'll write it down on a piece of paper and put that in the box or the jar. And then at Thanksgiving time, we open up the box and go through the little pieces of paper and read them out loud and share that through our meal.
We usually have our family over, just a bunch of family members, and we just say what we're thankful for. We'll go down the whole table and keep saying what we're thankful for. And that's about it.
Being at my mom and dad's house with everybody, the whole family, everybody, brothers, sisters, cousins, everybody, and we're eating turkey and dressing and green bean casserole and sweet potatoes and pecan pie, just all the feast, and then just sitting around talking with all the family. Then after we eat lunch, all the men get in a car and we go to two or three different car lots and we just look at cars for about an hour, and then we go home and watch the Dallas Cowboys play.
Now, I didn't hear any Thanksgiving in any of that.
Yeah,
that's all Thanksgiving. We do. Oh, that's all it's all about, man. Yeah.
They were going around the table and they had like six kids, and they asked the father what he was thankful for, and he was thankful for his Mercedes. And they were all just appalled. That's what he would think about, but it was. And he said, I can't help it. I'm thankful for it.
And while we're eating, usually we have two big tables to get all of us. While we eat, before we eat, they say grace. And it's usually my husband, Papaw, that does the blessing. And then as we eat, going around the table, everyone is supposed to designate something that they're thankful for. I'm thankful because God allowed us this time that we can be here together. Some of the children may be thankful for their parents or something like that.
Well, at Thanksgiving, we have a Thanksgiving tree. And I cut out leaves, and everyone writes what they're thankful for, and we put them on the tree. Then the oldest person that is celebrating Thanksgiving that year, we all write a note of why we are thankful that for that person, and we present them with a blessings box with all of our thank you notes on why we're so thankful for them. And last year we did it for my grandmother, and then she passed in December.
Well, at Thanksgiving we occasionally sit around the table and everyone alternately tells what they're thankful for in the family.
Does it ever get awkward?
No, we're more careful than that.
Yeah, our family gathers at my parents' house. Big meal, of course, and then we follow that with a game of football between everyone in the family. You know, so we play it in a way where the smallest can play and even the grandparents can play, but tradition that kids look forward to.
At Thanksgiving, because we are from Puerto Rico, we incorporate some American traditions, and we bake the turkey, but we also prepare some foods that are Puerto Rican, and then we go around the table and we say one thing that we're thankful for.
We make turkeys different ways. Like this last year, I got cardboard boxes and cut out the form of the turkey, and then I went and bought all these feathers and stones and corn, and so we went in the bedroom while everybody else was getting the food ready, and we made our turkeys, and everybody's turkey was different. And so right before we had dinner, we had the turkey parade, and they all walked in, their turkeys were on a stick, and they all walked in with their turkeys in front of everybody and showed their turkey. And, well, I got prizes for everybody. So we did, I mean, we were supposed to, like, judge them, but everybody won.
You didn't hurt any feelings.
No, so. No.
Do you give thanks at Thanksgiving also?
Yes.
You squeeze that in?
Yes.
So most of us do some kind of tradition at Thanksgiving, and of course a big part of it is the preparation of the meal, of the celebration feast, where maybe we'll pray a prayer at the beginning, a brief prayer giving thanks. But I don't know that we spend a whole lot of time and energy thinking of creative ways to become intentional about emphasizing issues of our faith. So here are just a couple of quick ideas you may want to try. First, you fill a glass of water halfway and place it on the table in front of the children. Give each one of them an index card with the phrase written on it, "The glass is half blank," inviting them, of course, to fill in the blank. Go around and find out who wrote full and who wrote empty in the blank. So some wrote "the glass is half full," some wrote "the glass is half empty." Now give each child a piece of drawing paper and crayons, and of course mom and dad can do this as well, or if you have the family together, everyone can do it, and ask them to draw a large glass half filled with water. So you can imagine a little line there in the glass that it looks like it's half full. Then have them write words or draw pictures of things they already have in the portion that has water in it. So, for example, they might draw a picture of a toy or a family member or food, or might write out the word books or clothes or church or dad's job or whatever it might be. So the idea is when they're done, there's a picture there of a glass that's half full of water, and within the water portion, there are names or pictures of things to be thankful for. Now, in the space without water, have them write or draw things they would like to have, such as more money or a new toy or a vacation to Disneyland or some special kind of cereal or whatever they can think of. When that's done, read together 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 9. That's 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 9 and Philippians 4, verses 11 to 12, and discuss why it's important that we learn to be content no matter what we do or don't have. Then read Ephesians 5, 20 and explain that the practice of expressing thanks is one way we make our life half full instead of half empty, because it helps us focus on the blessings God has given rather than complain about the things we don't have. Okay, so when you're done with that, wrap up your time by giving your children a stack of index cards and having them do a Thanksgiving scavenger hunt by running all over the house and identifying as many things as they can in 10 minutes or less for which they are thankful. Let them write a word or draw a picture to represent each blessing, depending on how old they are, and then gather back together and have the children pray a brief prayer of thanks for each card. Now, we like to add a little jingle at the end of our activities to help us remember what we learned, and on this one we used, "I'll be content with what God sent." And we all say that together as kind of a way to tie a bow around the activity and move forward. So there's one activity you may want to try this Thanksgiving with your children, or frankly with the whole family as they gather together just before the meal.
Well, you pick a hippo, pink, green, orange, or blue.
Okay, one last very simple idea that you may find surprising. And it starts with Hungry Hungry Hippo.
And then you put these little balls in the middle, and then you press this little up and down thing. You press it really hard, and the mouth opens, and you try to get the most balls in its stomach.
You play that at Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how does Hungry Hungry Hippo help us emphasize Thanksgiving? Well, when you finish the game, you count up the balls. And let's say you got 6 balls, and the child got 8 balls. Then you give 6 things that you're thankful for, and the child comes up with 8 things that they're thankful for, and then you play another round, and you just keep going until you run out of things to be thankful for, and hopefully that'll take you quite a while.
We do the tradition. We read the Christmas story and really emphasize the meaning of it before we begin the presents and everything else. One of the biggest things with our Christmas traditions is it's not just about our family in particular. It's about our extended family, uncles and aunts, cousins, nieces, nephews, that kind of thing. And we really make it a special time because even though we live pretty close to each other, there's still something about getting up on Christmas morning all together and experiencing that as one big family, big one, big extended family, that I think is very important.
At Christmas, we give each other 3 gifts, and everyone in the family gets three gifts, and they're representative of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The gold was the top item that the child wanted, and the frankincense was something more practical that they might need, and the myrrh was something that represented a giving of our time for something that the kids might want to go do. And then the fourth thing that we did add was what we do for others. And so that our fourth gift is something that we make intentional as a family to do for people outside the home.
My favorite has to be, besides putting up lights, we have this giant cross in our backyard that we put up. We just hang it up, or actually we first have to put it together, then we hang it up, and then from the road you can see it. Yeah, it's a huge cross.
And we always have at Christmas the story, the Christmas story. And we spread different events over the entire weekend.
Now tell me the ages of the grandkids.
One just turned one, five, six, 10, 12, 13, 14. There's eight of them. They're fun. Yuletide cows
being sung by choir. Well, we take these little hanger thingies, and then we put the we put them in the little ornaments, and then hang them wherever we want on the tree, and then we put the star on the top, and we put the lights around it.
My favorite Christmas movie is White Christmas, and this goes back to, I guess, as a little girl, I have got to watch that. My Christmas season is not complete until I have watched that movie. And my husband's the same way. My biker husband loves, has become a fan of White Christmas also. Even the singing, the whole bit, you know.
Would he want anyone to know that?
Probably not.
My favorite Christmas movies are White Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, and the movie of the Christmas Story, the Mary and Joseph and Jesus one.
So if you had to choose between White Christmas, watching White Christmas, or reading the Christmas Story, and you can only pick one this Christmas, what are you going to choose?
I'll read the Christmas Story. Reluctantly, but...
Christmas, yeah, we go look at Christmas lights the night before on Christmas Eve, and of course we always attend a worship service together, and then we go look at the Christmas lights, and then kids always come back, and even though the oldest is 25, we still have like one present they can open, which is always pajamas that they can sleep in for Christmas, and they always pretend like it's, you know, they don't know what it is, but it's always the same thing.
And every year we would try different tree farms until we found the perfect tree farm, which not only has the trees, it has the feed the goats and the hay mazes and the tire swings, and we have our restaurant picked out where we stop afterwards. And now it's like the tradition we've been passing down who does the sign. Originally it was my husband, but now, you know, the oldest is 19 and she's done it once, and then the 17-year-old, and this past year it was my 13-year-old. He got the saw, and, you know, it's the pictures and posing by the tree, and it's tradition, and it's a family time. And we've since taken boyfriends and stuff, and they thought, oh, how boring, and realized, wow, this is really cool.
Oh, yeah, and I like Scrooge, and then I like the drummer boy.
Boy, I'm just kind of blank on it. I mean, we go to church, but, you know.
Well, that's a good thing.
I mean, we always talked about Jesus, and we would just sit down, one of us would get the Bible out and just read the story, just so we can remember what it is, as opposed to tearing into presents.
Merry Christmas, everybody. So amid all the gift-giving and fun traditions, like looking for trees and, of course, attending church and so forth, what are a couple of things we can do at Christmas time to very specifically hone in on the meaning of Christmas, particularly with our children, with our grandchildren, and those we're trying to influence?
And do that thing where you open the little presents every day for the last 7 days. Like the first day, There's the, well, I'm not exactly sure, but...
The first is something my daughter's describing. It's a little kit that you can buy called What God Wants for Christmas.
Actually, the first day is Gabriel. And the second day is Mary, then the next day is Joseph, and then one of the wise men, and then one of the shepherds, then the baby, and then the mirror.
What does the mirror mean?
It shows that God wants us for Christmas.
Now that kit, What God Wants for Christmas, is just a great resource that you should have in your home to use every year with your kids and your grandkids. It's a fun, easy thing to do. It has a little book that explains what each of the characters represent. And, of course, that final landing point where it says, hey, look in the mirror. That's what God really wants for Christmas, is you.
And we open the little boxes and tell the story, the Christmas story. And then at the end, it talks about God wants you for Christmas. They love it. It's their favorite thing.
We'll try to have a few of those available for you if you want to pick them up from us. Or you can get them from Family Life Ministries. Just visit them at familylife.com, and you should be able to order the kit, What God Wants for Christmas.
Mama decorates the tree while the kids are playing. They're as happy as can be when the snow is falling.
Now, another great resource to help you become intentional about faith at the holidays, and I don't mean just Thanksgiving and Christmas. This would be all year round, from January through December, whatever the holidays are that emerge, is a book called Holidays Family Nights Tool Chest. That's a book that's available from Heritage Builders at heritagebuilders.com. Now, one of those ideas let me share with you here as our last suggestion of what you can do at Christmas to be intentional about faith at home. Now, the point of this little activity is to demonstrate how Christmas is the beginning of a much larger story because Jesus was born to die for us. Here's what you do. Before decorating your Christmas tree or wreath, ask the children what they've heard about why Jesus was born. If one of them doesn't mention it, remind them that God became a man so that he could die for our sins. Then help your children connect the word sin to their own wrong behavior by reading Romans 3:23, and then inviting the children to write words or draw pictures on several index cards that represent some of the things they do wrong, such as lying, throwing a temper tantrum, disobeying mom or dad, hitting a sibling. You get the idea. Now, work together to create a large cross out of whichever materials you choose. Could be cardboard, could be wood. You could get elaborate, you could keep it simple. And then read Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and share that because God loves us, he doesn't want to punish us for our sins, so God became a man in order to take the punishment on our behalf. Now, have the children tape or pin each of their sins onto the cross, thanking God each time for dying on a cross to pay for their sins. Then you can memorize the little jingle, "In the cross I see God's great love for me." Now, we make some of the resources I've mentioned here available for purchase or for checkout at the library. We also have free recipe cards, what we call recipe cards, which are just a single sheet that you can take that's an idea of something you can do at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, or actually we make them available all year round for you to just pick up an idea to go try and do something intentional with your family, and including date night ideas. So stop by and check out any of those. Before wrapping up, I thought I'd mention one last thing. Don't expect your children to always get the point when you try these activities. I've heard of parents becoming discouraged because here they do their best, and yet the kids don't seem to absorb the principle.
What do we put in the Easter eggs?
Candy.
And some of them have candy and some of them have?
Money.
Other than money?
One mom, in fact, recently was having this conversation with her child, and I had a chance to record it because she was trying to get the child to remember what it was they did at Easter, because she had set up some special things with their Easter eggs to make that memorable in terms of the faith. And it was funny listening to her trying to coax out of the child what exactly the point was.
We had, each one had eight eggs that had notes in them. What were on the notes?
But Jesus.
Right, scriptures, right?
Uh-huh.
Each one had a different verse.
Uh-huh.
And you had to go to your Bible. And find the scriptures. And each scripture, you got a different gift that represented what the scripture was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what were some of the gifts that you got?
The lamb.
Which represented?
The lamb of God.
Right.
The bunny, which I don't remember what that one was.
It was for new life.
Yes. And then I got a book.
A packet of?
A pack of jelly beans.
No, seeds.
Seeds.
And herbs that represented?
Food?
No. And what did it represent?
Eating.
We had a similar experience the first time we used the resurrection eggs, which, by the way, is another resource I recommend at Easter time that you get, resurrection eggs. And that process leads to an egg at the end. You have a different symbol inside of each plastic egg, and the last one is empty, representing, of course, the empty tomb. So we did the activity, which we do every year as a tradition, and on this occasion we asked our youngest to pray when we finished. So we held hands, and she prayed, "Dear God, thank you for dying for the eggs." And we laughed, realizing, okay, maybe she didn't get the point. But if we do these traditions year after year and continue to be intentional, they will absorb the truths of Christianity by using the holidays. And so that's what we encourage you to do. And we hope you found this episode inspirational and helpful as you start to look towards whatever holiday is around the corner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. With all the family guys.